While the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had ceased speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a great shoal of fish. And as their nets were breaking, they beckoned to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid, henceforth you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. In many parts of the English-speaking world, the feast or solemnity of St. Patrick is celebrated today, interrupting the austerities of Lent. Like Father Christmas dressed in green, St. Patrick has become the focus of many myths and legends. What we can be sure of, however, are two texts composed by Patrick, a bishop from Britain who preached the gospel in Ireland in the 5th century. Patrick's confession is a defense of his life and work. His letter to the soldiers of Caroticus protests at the scandalous attack of a Welsh king on a community of Christians and shows his passion for the people with whom he had come to identify himself. These documents are marked on the one hand by anxiety, as Patrick acknowledges his weakness in the face of life's difficulties, and on the other hand by a strong and enduring trust in God's care. "I am Patrick, a sinner," the confession begins, "ego patricius peccator." We could even think of it as meaning, "I am a noble sinner, a patrician sinner." What gives Patrick's confession its nobility is his simplicity and truthfulness. "My life is not as perfect as other believers," he writes, "but I confess it to my Lord, and I do not blush in his sight because I am not telling lies." Born in the humiliation of slavery, Patrick's humility is that of the man with nothing left to lose. What if men muddy his name? In one of his graphic images, Patrick speaks of himself as a stone lifted out of mud by God's grace. We probably all remember the story of Patrick's enslavement and of his escape back to Britain and on to France, where he studied for the priesthood. He speaks of the benefits and grace the Lord conferred on him in the land of his captivity. "There is a kind of freedom," he says, "which is only gained through suffering." Later, he hears the voice of the Irish calling him back to a new kind of slavery, to become the servant of a foreign race. He chooses to sell his nobility for the good of others, as he puts it, and returns to the Irish as a preacher of the Word of God. Having been their slave, he becomes their servant. It is interesting to reflect on the course of Patrick's vocation. Like St. Paul in Acts chapter 16, he meets a man in a dream who asks him to come and walk among us once again. In prayer, he believes he receives the endorsement of Christ and the witness of the Spirit, confirming his plan to return to Ireland. But then comes the time of testing. Patrick must struggle with the difficulties involved in a mission beyond the civilized world of the Roman Empire. Worse than that, he ends up resented and very much despised by colleagues in the British Church for reasons that remain unclear. Patrick's strength in all this is his unwavering faith in God. The story about the shamrock is a much later invention, but Patrick's sense of God was always Trinitarian. He speaks of the Father's providence, of Christ's companionship in or beside him, and of the Spirit's presence in and over him. His confession contains a wonderful early Christian creed. He sees the hand of God in the haphazard turns and twists of his life. The presence of the Trinity is his protection from the dark, from superstition and from demons. I leave myself in the hands of Almighty God, who rules everywhere. The daughters of Leogira, an Irish king, are curious to know where Patrick's Trinitarian God dwells, and he teaches them that God resides in all creation. In terms reminiscent of Paul's speech in Acts chapter 17, Patrick says that we and all things live and move and have our being in God. Such teaching helped to strengthen an appreciation of creation as alive with the presence of God, a key characteristic of what some like to call Celtic spirituality. Patrick believes that dreams and visions give him guidance and illumination, and he tells us much about his prayer in the confession. The famous hymn called the Breastplate of St. Patrick, Christ be beside me, Christ be before me, and so on, although it dates from long after Patrick's time, may still be taken as a reliable witness to the way of prayer taught and practiced by Patrick and his generation. While God's answer to our prayer may not be the one anticipated, prayer cannot but bring us into God's presence, he says, to restore confidence and courage. In the confession of Patrick, we meet a fascinating and endearing personality, at once humble and great in the service of God. Although I am imperfect in many ways, I want my brethren and relatives to know what kind of man I am, so that they may understand the aspirations of my life, he writes. My success was the gift of God, and this is my confession before I die.